You're listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts, powered by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce.
Hello, everyone. My name is Roy Nascimento, President and CEO of the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce. I'd like to thank you for tuning into this edition of our live chat series this morning with our guest, Mayor Dean Mazzarella of the City of Leominster. As winter starts to come to a close and thoughts start to turn towards spring, the Chamber continues to be laser focused on helping our members and communities. Since the start of the pandemic, the Chamber has responded with guidance, resources, and a strong support system help our members and communities adjust and respond. We haven't taken our foot off the gas, made it a priority to deliver relevant information and programming to you, hosting numerous online programs and forums like today's live chat to keep you informed, connected to the community and each other. Today's live chat is a great opportunity for you to hear directly from the mayor on what's happening in Leominster, the city's continuing response to COVID, and to ask questions. Please feel free to post any questions you have in the comments section, and we will try to get to as many as we can during the program. Today's program is being recorded and will also be available for viewing on our website. We've also launched a new podcast series called Inside North Central Massachusetts, and today's program will also be available by next week as a podcast pleasure. Before we get started, I'd like to express our thanks to Mayor Mazzarella for participating in today's live chat. This forum has been a great resource keep business leaders informed and updated on what has been a very fluid situation. The mayor has been very gracious in his willingness to engage with the business community and answer questions. Just a reminder that we are planning on holding these online chats on a monthly basis until it's safe to resume face-to-face meetings. You can check our website, www.northcentralmass.com, for information on future live chats and other upcoming programs. So let's get started. I'd like to turn the program over to Travis Condon, First Public Affairs Manager, who will moderate live chat with Mayor Mazzarella. Travis?
Good morning, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. Happy to be joined by Leominster Mayor Dean Mazzarella. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being here. First of all, where are you this morning?
I'm in the, we're down at the mall today. This is the vaccine site, and I'm in the back room of the vaccine site, which is the old Maurice's store. If you come in from Toys R Us, that first exit right there is the first store. And today we're doing 75 and older, and then we'll be doing teachers more towards the afternoon. So how many teachers, Wendy, this afternoon? 100, 125? And the rest of 500 would be six. Well, we've actually reached down. Last week was 75 and older, but we're reaching down a little bit to 65 and older today. So. It's going very well. We contracted with a company called MassCon, and they contract and partner with us and Brewster Ambulance, and they bring their whole staff. They set everything up, and our staff and members of the fire department and the health department are here to help assist. So it's a big team effort here. It's pretty impressive to see.
Now, right now, this isn't really an open kind of clinic for everybody. So how are folks being contacted for appointments for this clinic going on down at the mall?
So if you've heard any of the news, and you'll be hearing more about it, it's there's a whole effort to reach equity. And those are the hard to reach, the minority communities, those with the other languages, Portuguese especially is a language that is that people from that community are here. We can't find enough teachers to teach in the schools for English as other languages. And so which really our efforts, this is part of our effort as one of the 20 communities in the state hardest hit to reach out and reach that population 75 and older and those hardest to reach. And so we started in our office a couple of weeks ago, just getting on the phone and calling everybody we could find. We set up a special hotline that could call us. And these are people, and we hear it all day. And it's the same thing all the time. And that is, you know, we've tried everywhere to get a shot. And then when they do, it's so far away for some of these people, 75 and older. Most of the people that are here are only 85 years old and couldn't do a trip to Gillette. We had a police officer, when I was a police officer, when I was just starting, he was retiring that particular year. He came here today, 95 years old, and it's been weeks that he's been trying to find a place to get his vaccination. And so we're doing outlaw, outreach. It's literally outreach.
And so right now you're doing this vaccinations at the mall. And I know last week the Sentinel Enterprise reported that you, Fitchburg Mayor Stephen DiNatale, you kind of teamed up to try and get a more coordinated, bigger effort in the area, whether it's at the mall. I know another place that's been discussed is the Wallace Civic Center. We're also talking about the Kmart building as being a viable possibility. Do you see that effort for a more mass vaccination site, kind of more open to everybody, coming to fruition in the Twin Cities, or do you think it's going to be continuing efforts like this until you can get more and more folks eligible?
Well, I think at some point we're going to have to, we're going to see somewhat of a mass site here in Northwest County just because of the mere population. But in the meantime, you know, we continue on these efforts. And then if somebody doesn't meet the criteria for getting a vaccine here, what we spend our time doing is we have somebody watching it. And we also have little ambassadors who are out there watching the sites. So about 10 times a day, I'll get tips from people who say, hey, I just saw something pop up. 10, they can do 10 vaccines from Lowell General or Lawrence, or just a little while ago, it was Marlboro had a bunch available. So we have all of these, you know, kind of like weather watches, only they're vaccine watches, watching for a 24/7, believe it or not, at 2 and 3 in the morning, I'll get notice saying, yeah, 1,000 just opened up in Worcester or Gillette or whatever. And so what we do is we try to team up and we try to connect anybody that's looking to get a vaccination with a location that they can, you know, get to.
Now, people watching right now know seniors out there that haven't yet been contacted, and they know that they don't have transportation to get outside the city, but they can get to the mall. Where can they go for more information on trying to get registered for this site at the mall?
Call 534-7500, extension 0. We also have an email address, vaccine@leominster-ma.gov. And you can text us or email us, whatever is convenient for them. Reach out to us on Facebook Messenger, whatever it takes to get them connected to us. But yeah, people can just call and we'll get them hooked up. We'll actually register them. We'll do most of the pre-registration for them.
And I was seeing online, the Leominster Public School Committee had sent out a survey to folks as they talk about their reopening plan. Last night, the school committee had their regular meeting. Can you tell us what the plan is for reopening of schools following the decision on the announcement that Commissioner Riley has the authority to send kids back to school? What is the back-to-school rollout going to look like for residents in Leominster? I know it's an audience question that came in.
So a couple of things. One is, it'll be phased in. So we'll start with K through eight, smaller kids. Then we'll go to the middle school. I should say K to five. Then we'll go to middle school. Then we'll go up to the high school. And that'll start phasing in at the end of the month, beginning of this month. Kids are already in, but that's when the full phase in begins. Now that classroom will look a little bit different. Classroom will look a little bit different. The bus will look a little bit different. Everything's a little bit different, but it's important to really get things going again. And the federal government through the CARES Act funding for last year as well as this year, this new round coming, going to come at a good time for us because it will be helpful to us to be able to realign ourselves. We'll need those extra funds to be able to do things differently and keep kids spaced out. Maybe we might even, if the amount of students we think are going to be returning, we may need to lease some extra space to accommodate them. So all in all, plans in effect. The state has said we got to get these kids back. We're 100% in agreement, but we've got to do it safely. We'll be doing 125 teachers here this afternoon. A lot of teachers already got themselves an appointment somewhere else to get a vaccine. Our buses are, they're not going to be able to pack, 35, 40 kids on a bus anymore. So all of those things will change, but at the same time, the relief is the extra funding that we'll be getting.
Now, you mentioned depending on the amount of students that come back. So does the plan involve students back, or is it staggering students where some are coming in part of the week, or are some going to continue to work remote? What is the plan for those who aren't familiar with what's going to be going on?
So the state has said that they're not forcing anybody to come back to school. They're going to continue with remote. And so the survey really is, and this is what I've been asking the school committee to do for some time now, is you need sort of an understanding of who is coming back so we can prepare for that. and who isn't, and who's going to do remote, because if they're going to do remote, we have to be set up for that specifically. So at this point, you got to be set up for everything, whether it be halftime in, halftime out, student that can come all day, every day, or the student that wants to do 100% remote.
Now, look at areas like the cafeterias in schools and the gymnasiums and the auditoriums. Are those kind of spaces going to be utilized when students head back to kind of keep kids even more spaced out and utilize some of that extra free space?
Yeah, I mean, think just like everywhere else, you know, whether you go to a restaurant or wherever you might go, the precautions will be taken, and people people will mandate that, or that will certainly create a problem if they don't. They've got to feel safe and feel that it's okay. Do you have any water around? Have to feel safe, and we've got to make sure people are safe. I know they've reduced it to 3 feet now in the schools rather than six, and that certainly will give us, you know, more room. But again, you've got to feel it, right? You've got to walk into a classroom and feel like, you know, this environment is safe.
Now, looking at the feedback that's been coming in from parents, whether it's surveys, whether it's emails or phone calls, what is the overall feeling? Do you believe that there's going to be a big demand for getting back to the classroom, or do parents seem to be hesitant?
I think, for some parents I've talked to, they're like, you know what, not taking any chances. My kids are staying home. I'll continue with the remote. They're doing well with remote. And then I hear the other parents who will say, my kids got to get back into the classroom. They're just not able to do this whole remote thing. It's they're too difficult. They're falling behind emotionally. It's been a challenge for them, and so they so it's mixed. And you know, I think at this point we're 50-50 where we are right now. I expect it to go up somewhat, but if your kid's doing fine right now and you're worried about it, maybe you have an extended family member living with you, and you don't want to take that chance, and they haven't been vaccinated yet. They may want to, may want to keep their kids home. I've talked to plenty of people who their kids are just doing fine, and or they've teamed up, brother, sister, and they have somebody, parent or somebody that's acting as the teacher and helping out. And we run the Boys and Girls Club, same sort of thing, where we pay for the kids to go to the Boys and Girls Club during the day who might be unsupervised. So a whole host of options, because for family it's a little bit different. And that's what we're doing, is trying to accommodate every family for whatever seems to be working for them.
Hey,
and now, how are you? I know you're talking.
You look the same all the time. That's all I can tell you.
And now I know you're talking about accountability, and you're talking about different plans and how things are going to work from the school side of things. I look back to when I was in school, and inevitably, kids would come to the school when they had the flu or when they had strep or different things like that. But how much are parents and families going to have to be accountable to make this a success as well, in terms of, when your kid's sick, not sending them to school, or if there's any concern, knowing to keep them home, even if it means finding a babysitter, even if it means like taking a half a day off of work, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think we've gone, the pendulum swung the other way. You could watch just about any commercial on TV or get, a message on Facebook or Instagram, and it would be, hey, you're not feeling good, you're feeling sick, go to CVS and go to aisle 7 and you can buy all these products and get back to work, right? And so that was sort of the thing. And we told kids for so long, you can't miss a day. If you miss a day, you're going to fall behind. And all of that. Now I think things are a little bit different, right? And we don't want people to come to work. And I think that's the good part, is think about, somebody gets a cold in your office, everybody's got the cold within 2 weeks. If somebody comes in with the flu, everybody's got the flu. So I think it's made us rethink, and the pendulum sort of swinging the other way. And we encourage people not to come to work when they're sick, not to go to school when they're sick. At the same time, this remote's not going away. So a student that maybe is not feeling well and maybe out for a week is still going to be able to have the opportunity to stay up with their class and their, learning experience. But I think that's going to be everywhere. Workplace, I know myself, if it's flu season, I wear my mask, even if everybody in the world's been vaccinated, and we'll keep our plexiglass up. I want to be healthy. And too many times people take the day off because they're sick and then come into my office, and share it with me, because they took NyQuil or DayQuil or all 10 things that they got at the grocery store. Well, you're sick, stay home.
Now, last week, MassLive had an article, and they reported that Leominster had the largest number of student COVID-19 cases in that previous week. It was reported at 15, according to the state. Is that news impacting any of the discussions around the timeline of the return to the classroom?
No, not really. I mean, let's look at the clusters. I mean, we're at, over 10,000 clusters in the state, and that's everything. Workplace, grocery shopping, school, daycare, and the largest clusters continue to be. It's down to 6,900 now, but the largest clusters are at people's homes. And think about it, you have an extended family and, maybe you have some cousins living with you at this particular point. And somebody gets it, and we're all on our best behavior when we're out, but when you come home, you're like, okay, the mask is off, that's it, I'm done, I can breathe now, I'm gonna sit down and watch TV. Somebody in your apartment complex or a neighbor comes to visit, wants to give you a mail because they go to the wrong house, you stop in, you have a conversation, somebody gets it, everyone gets it. And that's pretty much what we've been seeing recently is entire families, or most families. So there are five or six people at a house on a Sunday having dinner, or even 10 people. You end up with five or six people that all come down with COVID, and that's where the clusters are coming from. So same sort of thing with, students, they get it, and then somebody goes to school, and they pass it off to somebody else. So we're, the testing has gotten a lot better and a lot easier. I mean, you can pretty much go to any testing site right now, and there's almost nobody there. So I think this is going to, even though people are getting vaccinated, it's going to be part of our life for some time.
Leominster has managed to hold modified versions of some of their events during the pandemic. I know we recently saw Restaurant Week, we saw the coffee crawl, and I understand later on in this month, starting next week, we're going to be seeing the pizza crawl. Can you tell us about some details involving this pizza crawl for those who aren't as familiar with the event?
Yeah, we didn't want to scrap everything. I mean, we've got people hunkered down, for months, and we thought, is there another way to do this? And, we did the holiday, festival of trees at City Hall, and it went well, and it was very organized, and it was bigger and better than ever, actually. We put an actual train inside the building, and it goes around the perimeter, and people really excited about it. And then we did the drive through all the neighborhoods in the city on two different weekends with the fire department, and that was a big hit. So we didn't scrap everything, but we did have to scrap those things that had people squeezed into a particular event. So some of the concerts and the holiday concerts with students, where people would be so packed in with poor ventilation, or because you tend not to open the windows in the middle of winter. So we did those things, and we continued on, and we did the coffee crawl. That went well, almost as good as last year. And then that was pre-pandemic, and then we're going to do the from the 21st to the 27th, we're going to do the pizza crawl. And people are excited about it. I think more and more, you'll see more and more people going out, more and more people going to restaurants as people are vaccinated. And they lifted restrictions as long as the tables are 6 feet apart and go into a restaurant. No more restrictions other than that, other than you can only spend 90 minutes inside a restaurant. And so those things, I think, are helping people to feel better about returning back. And I see more and more people going to church, and more people out driving. There's backups on Route 2 now coming home at night near Devon. So we're getting back to, things are getting back to normal now. It's not just a few people on the road anymore. So I see that all as we'll continue. Spring will be spring, and spring will mean other things this year. Just like you plant things and the flowers come out and the buds, same thing. People are getting vaccinated, the nicer weather's coming, people will be outside, the numbers should go down, and people are going to just slowly, very slowly, return back to what is, I guess, classified as normal.
Now, I know we can't do some of the big, big events that Leominster's famous for, but when you mention the pizza crawl and these other crawls that have already happened this year, are we going to be looking at some of these other kind of smaller things, maybe week-long things, to try and continue that blitz on small businesses throughout their, maybe the spring and the summer and the fall?
Sure. I know we started taking reservations for vendors for Johnny Appleseed Festival, and so what we would do is just spread people out. So whereas it would be confined to the square part of what we call square downtown, where the common is, this would be, we spread it out to the rest of the downtown area. So there's ways of doing it. You just gotta, think it so that people aren't, it's outdoors, so that's a plus. Two, it's, you know, if you can spread the event out so there's not a consolidation of people in any one particular area, you can still pull it off. And that's what our plan is. So we won't have, we won't be able to do every event, but we'll add a few new things and continue with some of the events they already have.
And staying on that theme of downtown, and while we're on the subject of small business, I know that congratulations are in order as you've opened a new establishment in downtown. Tell us about your Main Street Coffee Cafe.
Yes. Hey, here's the former mayor of Braintree here, Joe Sullivan, who helped us set this up here. Joe, thank you for putting this together. We contract with a company called MassCon. Yeah, you can come on here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my buddy Joe. My buddy Joe. Joe Sullivan, he was, how many years?
12 years.
And then, and he's also on the board at MassCon with me. And he just retired from that. But he missed the COVID thing. He just got out on the right
time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did. You know, just my friend Dean, and he's a great advocate for Lemonster, and so we've been working with MassCon Medical to help set up this program today, and it seems like it's going very, very well. So just pleased to be with all of you. I'll let the mayor get back.
This is our Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, congratulations.
We didn't just stop it. They continued on. They said, hey, we're not going to cut this thing, but we'll just find another way to do it. And we're in the back room of this vacant storefront.
I saw the sign as I came along Route 2, the legendary Lemonster.
That's it.
And I was like, wow. Dean's a legend, too. No,
everybody in Lemonster
is the mayor's.
Not everybody in Lemonster is a legend.
Congratulations.
Thanks for coming
out. Nice to see you. Great.
We've had a lot of press coverage today. A lot of people coming in. The Herald was here. Channel 10 was here. NBC was here. And they're going to be actually making home visits today. We went to one of several homes today where people can't get out to get the vaccine.
I've got to tell you, Dean, I know there's a lot of people there that you knew, and we were a little worried you wouldn't have time for us, but we do appreciate you still joining us today. And as I was saying before, when we're talking about small business in downtown, we've got to mention the fact that you've opened a new downtown establishment, Main Street Gift and Cafe. Tell us all about this new establishment, and is it an extension of your previous flag store, or is it entirely different?
So we started in the flag business in 1984, and then downtown, when downtown was more than 50% empty, and Pete Bolio said, hey, why don't you move your business downtown? And I said, why? I'm doing just fine when I'm in my own building on West Street. So Pete Bolio was a city council. He said, because half the space is empty. So I said, all right. I said, you know what? You're right. If people see me down here, and I take it serious, and it appears as though it's an attractive place to do business, maybe other people will follow. So I located at 41 Main Street. We expanded from flags and poles to gifts and candles and all that. And then we were bristling at the seams, and an opportunity across the street at 40 Main opened up. And we were able to, you know, open a cafe and cafe food and treats and healthy foods. We have a chef on duty, and she's there. She makes everything from scratch. So the food part is new for me. But we've got great people. We've increased our we hired double the amount of employees. Of course, our workman's comp went up double. Our rent, you know, all our expenses have gone up, but it's been so fun. And I believe in Lemonster. I believe in the downtown. I didn't have them all when I was just a kid. I had downtown, and my grandfather would bring me downtown, and we'd go shopping, and that was my experience. I think we're moving back in that direction. Small business has become extremely important. Thank you to the Chamber. They've always been the good ambassadors and always there to help. Just talk to as a result of my business, I got a phone call the other day of a young lady that wants to open a lady's dress or attire, who wants to sell ladies' clothing, recommended she stop into the Chamber. And so it's that kind of excitement. We're almost to the point where we don't have any more space. If she takes that space, that's literally the last space available in the downtown. So it's exciting, and I'm glad I did it. It's a little, you know, you wake up with the jitters at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, wondering what you're thinking, but it's a beautiful spot. So we wanted to create this atmosphere of community where people came in and they knew each other, they saw each other, they lived near each other, and kind of a cafe feel to it. And, you know, the smell of a chocolate chip cookie being baked, or, you know, or a muffin or whatever, but just community and have it happen in downtown. And so that was our goal. It seems to be working well. And thank you for all your support and passing and spreading the word around. And we'll be members of the Chamber very soon, Main Street Gifting Cafe. And so we're excited. And, you know, it's difficult today because, you know, I say often, I started my business in the flag and flagpole business with $500. You can't start many businesses today. all the regulations and everything, it's just, you know, even myself, every day it's something, it's another, oh, did you know we've got to get this, we have to buy this, we need this piece of equipment, and we're blowing fuses because we're running so much equipment, we have to get the electrician in here and separate some of the, and the plumber and the grease trap is blocked and it needs a new one, and every day it's something, and that's something I think people don't understand about, you know, small business, and it's not so small anymore.
And for you to be still involved.
Yeah, so it's been exciting, glad I did it, and I'm excited.
And for you to be downtown, for you to be involved with a small business.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's like walking in here today.
Yep.
You're kind of chopped up on me.
Okay, what I was going to say was, now for you, you know, being involved in small business, being involved in downtown, do you think that gives you some extra perspective as mayor in terms of the pulse of small business in the community, or just being in that position?
Yeah, you know what? I can certainly understand what it's like for a business, because, you know, I was always, you know, our business, we were always debt free, and during the recession, in order to keep my business alive, I had to go to, you know, get a loan. I had to get down to Rollstone Bank and get a loan and put up some of my properties as collateral to keep the business alive. And I know what that's like when you face that, hey, I was making money before just fine, and now I made this big leap, and this is extremely expensive, and I have these, and I want to hang on to those employees, and, you know, am I borrowing money? Am I going to come out of this? Is we going to come out of the recession? Am I in the wrong business? Am I in a business that Amazon is going to destroy? All of those things. So you have an understanding for businesses. So when they come into City Hall or they call you and they say, you know, here's what's going on, you better understand, you know exactly what it's like. No matter how small, it could be a one-person business or a business that's got 500 employees. And let me tell you, during the recession, I spent most of my time on the phone with the utility companies asking them not to shut people off. Businesses with one employee or, you know, 200. So yeah, it gives you a better understanding of what businesses go through, and small business in particular. And I think that's helpful. But it also increases my ability to make connections with, you know, other people in the community. And there's a certain amount of respect for all of us, right? In anybody in business, we, each one of us has a certain amount of respect for each other, no matter what we do, big or small businesses or whatever our revenues are.
And you mentioned the bank down there, and a lot of folks have noticed, if you go by the bank and the woodblock building, trees are down, there's now a fence up, and we have an audience question, they're wondering what's going on with that construction, what is the plan over there, and why do the trees have to come down?
So that project is going to landscape all the way from the other side of Manning Avenue, Rollstone Bank, where the river is, Minnesota Brook, all the way back to Mechanic Street. So when we looked at the project, we looked at the existing trees, and they were all put in the early 80s, but they weren't the right trees. We wouldn't do that today, but the trees were all diseased, and we were just cutting limb off at a time, and another limb, and they said, you know, we don't take these trees out now, we'll be back, and we'll have to take them up, and we'll have to rip up all the sidewalks again, and this isn't going to be pretty. So the park is going to have a little water in it, some sitting areas, lots of landscaping, outdoor seating, kids for the fix, and it's going to really make that area look beautiful. So that's that part. We also have a grant coming up, $10,000 that we were able to get, and it's going to help us to create a snapshot of the downtown, and then also now look and say, okay, we've got Logan's coming in, we've got Monument Tap coming, we've got Mezcal will be opening as something this summer. I'm not sure what, but we've got the Fix now, we've got Columbia Tavern, we've got Brady's that'll be open May 1st. You've got all this going on, and all the space on the other side where Main Street Cafe is filled up. Okay, where do we go from here? We've done well, and, you know, most of the office space is taken. Where do we go from here? And that's what that grant will help us do, is to help look at areas where maybe we can create some housing. How do we bring people down to the point where, you know, we become an attraction for the area, bring people down on the weekends, increase activities and events. So yeah, we have a grant to do that. So we're not just looking at this year, we're looking at, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, we're doing well, and certainly things have come back. We've gone from having things more than 50% vacant to having everything just about filled. And So where do we go from there, right? I mean, that's the big thing.
Leominster Champion released an article last week talking about the Toy Factory apartments that recently completed on Summer Street. People are living in them now. The developer talks about working with the city's economic development coordinator. Can you talk about how the city works with potential investors on projects like that? You know, what is the process to make something like that come to fruition?
So it's interesting because about 4 or 5 years ago, we set this goal of, you know, 4 years, 3 years, I think is what we said, but it took 4 or 5 to take all those old, you know, factory buildings that weren't conducive to manufacturing anymore and get those filled up with either incubator space or housing. We're down to one. That one's on purchase and sales right now. And the rest are occupied. Either it's incubator space for small businesses. Tilton Cook is this giant area in there that's filled with small businesses. And a couple of those have actually gone off. The record store from the Tilton Cook building started there and has its own retail space at 45 Street in Leominster. And they sell vinyl records and they repair guitars and electronic equipment, and so you know we're going to be full in terms of the old manufacturing space and rehabbing. So that's another good sign. The process is lengthy though, because rehabbing those into apartments is very costly. So there's not just one grant that you can use, like New View right now, and North Star. New View did the existing buildings at the Carter Building. North Star is trying to do some buildings in town, and again, building brand new. You've got to use many, many different pockets of funding that come from a whole host of areas, and in order to be able to do that. No longer can you just go to one bank and say, I want X amount of dollars for this project and you get it. It's multiple sources, some government, some smaller loan, some city, HUD money, et cetera, to make those projects happen.
One piece that came up in the article was the HDIP, the Housing Development Incentive Program. How crucial has that been for this initiative over the last several years, not just for the Toy Factory apartments, but some of the other big projects like this?
They're all critical. There's 7 or 10 different pockets, and if you didn't have them, if you didn't have any one of them, like the HDIPs, we're very successful with the HDIPs on Summer Streets, and that project wouldn't have happened. Because it wasn't big enough, it didn't have enough units to make it worth it. And so if it didn't have the HDIP, it just simply couldn't happen. And so, you can't always use every one of these programs, but occasionally you run into one that is successful. It does fit, the project that you're working on. But yeah, all of these things. Let's face it, it's only incentives that will make any of these projects work. They're just too expensive to rehab a manufacturing building, put an elevator in, put all new, mechanicals and everything into those buildings and make them competitive. It's just no way you could do it otherwise.
Now, we have seen some progress on the Twin Cities Rail Trail, especially near Doyle Field, over in the Hamilton Street area, as well as the pedestrian Region 1 area being worked on. How involved is the city with the project at this stage, or is it kind of its own separate entity at this point?
Were you asking how involved we are? You kind of broke up on me. I don't know.
Yeah, how involved is the city into what's happening with the different phases of the project?
Oh, yeah. No, we stay up on top of it by the minute as things change and evolve. And hi, how you guys doing? And as things evolve, things change, but we're anxious, and there are things that happen along the way. There was a drainage issue for one of the businesses along the way, so you've got to step in and try to resolve that. They set the bridge last week behind Longhorn, so that was exciting for everybody involved in the rail trail project. That was really exciting for everyone. They're out there working today. They started back up. All the projects in town started back up, so it's pretty exciting this week to see people out there working. After the winter, they worked till like January, and then just got too cold, and then we started to get snowstorms, and everything, so they shut it down. But yeah, we stay involved. Our engineers work with them. We're on the phone with them all the time. Ryan is the project manager out there for French Construction, and it's a real partnership.
Now, this has been a very long time in the works. I remember being in school and hearing about this, and we're still seeing it. and as I look at this project, you know, when will residents finally be able to hop on the Twin Cities Rail Trail and go from Leominster to Fitchburg or back and forth or even just along a stretch of that trail? When will the public be able to start utilizing this?
I think, you know, that section that goes from the Leominster side over to like Doyle Field and over to Watertower Plaza is just about complete. I mean, the blacktop is down. We haven't done the landscaping on the side, but the bridge is in. And, you know, so that piece of it should be ready anytime. That's probably one of the first sections. But I would say by summer and fall, we should be, you know, we should be seeing them allowing people to begin using the trail. And then there's a second phase that'll bring us into the Fitchburg section of it all, which is behind Market Basket. But you should be able to go first phase from, you know, downtown Leominster right into that where the 5th Street Bridge is, 2nd Street or 4th Street is it that they call it. I'm not sure the exact street, but in that particular area. And the final gap will take you into the Intermodal Center behind you know, Market Basket in that area. So yeah, this year people should be able to start using that wheelchair. And remember, this is the only federal, fully funded federal project that has ever been done in the state of Massachusetts. So you know, it took longer, but think about what we had to overcome. Not only get through the trail, but we had to get through gas lines, power lines, we had to get through fields, we had to get over the railroads, we had to get over Route 2. I mean, there are so many, over Erdman Way. This has so many different crossings, railroad crossings. So we had every obstacle, high pressure gas lines. I mean, every obstacle you could possibly imagine, you know, we had to face with this. It wasn't just raw land and woods that we could just plow through and you know, run blacktop. So it's sort of making the impossible happen, making the impossible possible.
And not looking at federal dollars, but now looking at local dollars, looking at the citywide budget, it's in the works right now. How much has the budget actually been impacted through the pandemic and in the current fiscal year, and then looking ahead to the new fiscal year, how much are we looking at seeing an impact on the ongoing, because of the ongoing pandemic?
You know, overall, we've done extremely well, not just well, but extremely well. I mean, we've used our free cash in situations where when we had, you know, fire department or the DPW or somebody at the police department who, you know, came down with COVID. And we had to release a whole team of people. Anybody that was on those shifts had to use overtime to hire to backfill those positions. But all in all, we did okay. We had no layoffs. We did a little bit of a hiring freeze for a short amount of time, but that didn't last long, and we felt good enough for the rest of the year to take off the hiring freeze. So all in all, we'll finish out 2021 healthy. And our stabilization account still there. We didn't even have to touch it really. And it is there, and we may have to at some point, but at this particular point we haven't. And I think the key thing now is the newest money that has been you know, passed by Congress and the Senate, signed by the president, coming in our direction. Now that the money has been passed, now the big question is, what can you use it for? Now, remember, this is not going to be permanent money, so it's really going to be looked at as one-time money. So on the school side, it's how do we get kids caught up that slip behind? You know, are there small pods that we work on? Do we hire tutors? Do we pay teachers during the summertime to do one-on-ones or small groups? And do we run summer school? And so, you know, it's all of that. But there have been no – we haven't heard much about how they're going to allow us to spend those funds.
Now, last year, the city and every community across the state was forced to kind of keep passing a series of you know, operating budgets where they're waiting for the state budget. When you talk to state leaders, do you think that that's going to be the case again, or are we kind of planning for, no, we'll be able to put a concrete budget together and hopefully, fingers crossed, everything should go fine?
Well, I think it'll be better this year. We'll have a much better understanding. Tax revenues should be better, remember. Where the state is awakening, right? I mean, at this time last year, we were shutting things down. So state revenues were down. This time of the year with the vaccine, things are coming back. So in terms of state revenues, should be healthy. I know the MBTA transportation is off, but things should be getting better. People will have their stimulus money. They'll be spending money, hopefully, with small business. That will create some, you know, generate some taxes. And kicked into the state coffers. But I mean, the schools are gonna do very well. I mean, there's no school district in the state that shouldn't do well opening season for next year. There's I forget how many billions, $351 billion coming into the state of Massachusetts alone. It's some huge amount. So schools shouldn't be looking for, shouldn't be in tough shape starting a new fiscal year. But they're going to need more money because things are going to have to operate differently.
Now, temperatures have cooled back down since last week, but we did see Rocky the lifeguard take the plunge into Rockwell Pond. For those who might be new to the area who aren't familiar with the reason that there's a mannequin out there on Rockwell Pond, what's the point of this annual event?
This is true. He fell through the other day. I think it was Friday night into Saturday. And I was amazed. We only had a few warm days and the ice was about 10 inches thick. And then all of a sudden, within just a couple of days, hi Michelle, within a couple of days, everything, you could see the puddle created around him and down he went. So that raises money for the veterans. And all that money they donate back to different organizations here in the city.
And one organization that I know you kind of work with is the Mayor's Fuel Assistance Fund. With the rise in unemployment during the pandemic and some of these cold days that we had, have you seen a greater need for fuel assistance this year?
You know, it's interesting because we saw it two different ways. One is a lot more people contributing. Smaller, you know, $5 here, $10 here. But we also saw, more people seeking assistance, but it went both ways. More smaller donations and more people who got help, say, last year or the year before, who are on their feet now and came back to make donations to the people that were, you know, maybe having a little bit of a difficult time. So it's gone well. It's sort of evened itself out. Increase in donations, but an increase in demand.
Last time I was at City Hall, I noticed that Growing Places had set up shop. When are they coming back to City Hall? Is this a new monthly event where they set up in the auditorium area, in the Tate Auditorium?
Yes, they come to City Hall. I don't recall the date right off the top of my head, but if anybody's interested, they can call our office or just email me or message me and I'll let you know. But yeah, they've been coming once a month and they set up inside City Hall and they still have a lot of root vegetables and there's just still a lot more year-round greenhouses where they're growing things, right at Devon's, is it, for instance. And I think you'll see more and more, you know, produce being grown year round from in this area, especially from now on. And so Growing Places is certainly benefiting from that. So are we.
I know yesterday during your update in the morning, which you do every day on your Facebook page, one of the things we talked about was we will be seeing a reopening of the public library. For the longest time now, I know the public library has been great at doing, you know, curbside service. They've been having different events and kids where kids can come pick up stuff, families can pick up stuff. Books have been able to get for pickup. They've been giving recommendations, but I understand we might actually see people back in the library soon.
Yeah, we opened the first floor and on a limited basis, but we've expanded that and they have a plan for reopening. The state is allowing 50% occupancy inside the building, so we should be ready to go very soon to meet that 50%. But in the meantime, they've done a good job offering programs and kits that families can pick up and programs that are online, similar sort of things that we're doing here, and it's worked out well.
Now, we've started to see some work on Route 13. I know if you're driving up there, you might have noticed there is some telephone poles that were moved in recent days, and now we're seeing kind of more and more work crews doing some limited work around the railroad overpass bridge. What's the timeline on that project, and are we going to see some more major work soon?
Yeah, they've started back on Monday, and the utility companies were out there moving poles, and they're doing drainage work out there today. That's Amarillo Construction Company, and they know the area. I mean, they're very familiar with the area, and so working through Route 13, you know, during traffic time is nothing new to them. Again, they've done other work up there in the past, but yeah, they've ramped up, and they're got some road widening to do, new lights at the Armory down in that area, so. We're going to be able to move a lot more cars through there more efficiently and more safely, and that's the key. You're not going to correct the problem unless you put, six lanes in down there and tear out the railroad bridge. But this is about a $6 million project, and it's really going to help. I mean, we've done some upgrades on the traffic signals, and even we noticed that it does improve it. So we're trying to maximize the use and maximize the area that we have out there, maximize technology, and get people through there faster and more safely and more efficiently.
And you know, as a lifelong
reduce the amount of accidents. I mean, that's key down there. It's like,
as a lifelong resident, I know how busy that area can be. I mean, you look at Route 13, a main thoroughfare. You've also got folks coming from the mall area. I'm at that red light for the state police barracks. You've got people whizzing in and off the highway right at Route 2 in front of the armory. And then you've got that one-of-a-kind intersection further up in front of Jiffy Lube and the fire station, where you actually have to kind of cross into the opposing lane of traffic to take that turn. So this is a huge undertaking. When it's finally done, is that the area going to look different, or are we just going to see some smaller improvements and hopefully lead to a bigger relief in the area?
You'll see some road widening, but the lanes will be pretty much the same. The lights will be much better. So you'll know what lane you belong in, and you'll know when to take a left or when to go straight. So that's going to take away that guesswork where suddenly you find yourself in the same lane and somebody going in the opposite direction, which is just mind-boggling. When the engineers get here for the first time, they're just like, what? And same thing at Water Tower Plaza. So that is being designed as we speak. But I think we've locked up all the eminent domain takings, both the state's and ours. And so that's pretty much done. And that'll go out to bid later this year. So that's going to happen. So there are so many projects that we're working on. We have our paving project that we'll be working on this year. We're trying to coordinate them so they don't all run into each other. So we don't detour people from Route 12 and detour them over to Route 13 or vice versa. So that takes a certain amount of coordination, but it's just good that those projects are gonna happen.
Now, last summer we saw a lot of work in Merriam Ave and some of the surrounding neighborhoods there. Is that work going to be continuing this summer as well?
Yeah, all the under ground work is done, and so we'll start doing another section of Merriam Ave, and we'll be doing a whole host of other streets in the city. We're kind of doubling up on the streets that we're doing. But Merriam Ave is one of the ones that's the worst, but we've already spent close to $2 million just on underground infrastructure work. We only get $1.4 million to do our paving, and we would have to spend 4 years of our money, 4 years of doing no other streets if we just did Merriam Ave all at once. That's how costly it is. It's a couple miles long. So we're doing it in increments. So yes, we're doing more paving there. And
for those of us who are just joining us, we've got Leominster Mayor Dean Mazzarella. Connection's getting a little broken up. I know you're right now in a back area at the mall at Whitney Field, working on that vaccination site, vaccinating seniors. I know first responders were getting vaccinated there before. The city is continuing to do its outreach. The Leominster.ma.gov. You can find out more information on the COVID-19 vaccine. Leominster Mayor Dean Mazzarella, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts. This podcast is produced by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce. For more information on this episode, links to other episodes on Podbean, or if you have any questions, please visit northcentralmass.com.